by the way, happy holidays, and the season is here. And
same to you.
Thanks. And when I looked at the December issue, Are We Still Charm City? That word can be changed. Charm can lose the C, and I saw someone scratch it out, and then it becomes Are We Still Harm City.
Harm City, I know. That's one of the unfortunate side effects of this particular nickname for the city.
Yeah.
Just like the city that reads. Remember, they used to turn it into the city that breathes.
Yeah, we were breeding, yep.
Yeah, so I think whenever you have a nickname for a city, you have to sort of be mindful of how it can be kind of bastardized by your enemies. But, so, yeah, this the cover story, which I think asks a pretty provocative question, which is, are we still Charm City? So one thing you have to know about this nickname is it did not happen organically. Like, I think some people think that, oh, you know, we're just so darn charming that this nickname just sort of bubbled up naturally. But that's not actually what happened. I mean, it was part of a marketing campaign under William Donald Schaefer. It was a way to bring in tourists, to keep people from moving out of the city. And it was met with a lot of skepticism and derision when, you know, it was first proposed. And then what happened is it kind of got embraced. And, you know, now it's obviously the big prevailing nickname for our town, and we all love it and we all believe in it. So we started doing this deep dive into the nickname, you know, what it means, what it meant then, what it means now, does it still apply to us, right? And obviously, with all of the crime and you know, whatnot in our city, do we still think of ourselves as charming? Have we lost some of the charm? And we write about that, too, like some of the old restaurants that we used to have, like Hausner's and Bardic's. Places like that, Louis Bookstore Cafe, we've lost that. We've lost some of the larger-than-life icons like William Donald Schaefer, like Blaze Star,
Burks,
like Divine.
Man. Burks! Burks was awesome!
Burks?
Yes,
I liked Burks!
Me too!
A lot of these, like, you know, classic old restaurants where the service wasn't necessarily great, even the food wasn't necessarily great, but we have this sort of nostalgia for them, right?
Yep.
So a lot of that is kind of character. And as the city has become more gentrified, as we're losing some of these quirky things, does the nickname still apply? I mean, we don't have the Forum Stone anymore. We don't have the marble stairs and the you know, the people with their toothbrushes polishing the marble stairs. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a big part of the story, exploring that these sort of lost icons and what they've been replaced with. Another part of the story that I think is really interesting, though, is that when you really think about Charm City, you're thinking a lot about white working class Baltimore, you know, that sort of Hun model, that Pink Flamingos, what was sort of taken from John Waters and the way the city perceives itself. But what about, you know, the population of our city that is not white working class, which is a huge, you know, there's a huge African-American population in Baltimore. Do they relate to Charm City? Do they feel that it applies to them? And that's something that we explore, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to give away too much of the issue because it has so many really interesting points where we sort of talk about, like, who does Charm City speak to? Who should it speak to going forward? What have we lost? What have we gained? This is, like, a pretty serious story for us, but it still has lots of fun elements, too, you know?
Well, you can get into it because you know this city as well or better than anybody I know, and to be able to break it down like that and to put some real ideas out there, it didn't just happen as some sort of like, hey, we're charming, aren't we? Hey, Charm City. No, it was a marketing plan. And now, after Freddie Gray, do you still walk down the street the same way, Max? Because I don't.
Right. Well, that's exactly what we're exploring, and, you know, but we're also sort of looking at, like, nostalgia sometimes can be a bad thing. You know, like, sometimes we look back at what we thought was so great about the city, but in some ways the city is so much better now than it was. Like, obviously there are things that are not great about Baltimore right now. But in some ways the city has become more diverse. It's become more integrated. We're sort of all in it together. And that, to some extent, is partly the Freddie Gray effect, partly the effect of the uprising after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little, the story, again, it's like a little bit about what we've lost. It's a little bit about what we've gained and what we have. You know, like, it's just, it's a great city. And I think that this issue is a real exploration into the identity of the city.
Yeah.
But there's like cool, like little, you know, stories on the dive bars that still exist. Some of the women who sort of led the way, because Baltimore is the kind of city where women have just been in leadership roles. Yep. I love that about Baltimore, you know. For some reason, we've had female mayors. We've had, you know, female heads of our major institutions, our arts institutions.
Yeah.
Female head of our big city magazine.
Yes.
Look
at you. And then there's Mary Pat Clark, who's been the head of some things, and she's just, you know, an honorary citizen of love. She's been here forever.
She is my councilwoman, and I love her.
Yep. Great woman.
Love her.
Great woman. But, Max, this is the craziest thing. Baltimore has a perception problem outside of our little world here, but you nailed it on the head, man. When you were talking about the hay hunt and the beehives and all that stuff has sort of found its way. Gentrification has taken that and put it on the side a little bit. Cafe Hun's still there, and 36th Street is still completely independent of franchises, which is awesome, but the town around it has changed.
Right. Well, I think that we are a city that definitely hangs on to some of our quirkier traditions. It's like we really resist that level of gentrification because we want Baltimore to have its own individual identity.
Yep.
We want there to be toilet bowl races. You know, we want there to be Baby New Year and a diaper. We want 36th Street to have all these quirky businesses. And even when developers come into Baltimore, they sort of have to know that you can't just, like, plant some generic concept on Baltimore. You have to really think about the city and the citizens and the things that we treasure. So I think that the city has done a pretty good job in terms of gentrification, where it still really retains its identity. It doesn't feel like anywhere USA. It has never felt that way. Baltimore, I just feel like Baltimore is always going to have its individuality, its weirdness. But, you know, it's just a matter of what it looks like going forward and making sure that it's inclusive, because that's the thing, you know, like who somebody asked the question in this piece, who tells the story of a city? Who makes up the narrative? Who comes up with these nicknames? And it needs to not just be some corporate office, it needs to be the citizens themselves. And for the most part, people have embraced the idea of Charm City. Like, we like that.
Yeah.
We embrace it. And it, because it is true, people in Baltimore actually are, like, really nice, and we care. And also the charm comes from our quirkiness and our willingness to sort of embrace outsiders and weirdos and freaks.
That's
right. Always been Baltimore.
Yeah, we're so insane clown posse, aren't we?
We kind of are, and that's awesome, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right. I actually have a little essay in this about John Waters, who's always been a hero of mine. And I just love that he's one of the great icons of our city, because his whole deal is just accept, embrace, love everybody. The weirder, the better.
Yep.
You know, there's no judgment there. It's just like weird people rule. And I think that could be our new city motto. Weird people rule.
I love that. Oh my God. Yeah, and John still lives here. How cool is that? You
know? I know, I do love that.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, I think that people, you know, if you pick up this issue, it's a little different. It's a great opening essay by Lydia Williver, where she gets into all this stuff, and it'll be like a little trip down memory lane, looking at those old restaurants and old dive bars and old Baltimore characters, you know, Art Donovan and Earl Weaver and the like. And
wow.
I think people will enjoy this issue.
Man, Max, thank you so much. Max Weiss, editor-in-chief of Baltimore Magazine. And it's deep because you know your town, man. And that's so cool. You know, when you call the magazine Baltimore, the person running it better know the town. And you
damn right.
Woo! So thank you for coming on. I love having you on every time.